Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim. Appreciate that. Yesterday, a number of us went to the, were blessed to go attend the meeting at Houston, and they asked me to try to preach. I didn't really want to because the subject that I had was the one that I had thought about trying to preach today. And now today I'm asked to preach. I really don't want to because the subject that I have is the one I tried to preach on yesterday. Well, all that means is if you were in Houston yesterday, you're going to get a repeat. But I got permission by Brother Tom that I could go ahead and do that, and I'll take that. But moreover, I still feel very impressed of the Lord to try to speak to you on this. After I, after the service, I was talking to Elder James Conley, and Brother James is a lot more gracious than his brother, Brother Philip. And I won't go any further into that. Brother Philip would have come and said, you know, you preach that all wrong. Brother James said, have you ever thought about preaching it like this? That's basically what Brother James is saying. What you preached was good. It was in the Bible. But if you looked at it from another way of consideration, he says, I think there's a lot more there. And after he explained it to me, showed it to me out of the scriptures, I said, man, you know, that's wonderful. And so I'm going to give credit to Elder James Conley, moreover to the Lord. And if I have liberty on it, we'll give the Lord again the glory for that. But I want to turn to you over here in the book of Joshua and in the 20th chapter. Joshua chapter 20, I'm going to read the scriptures to you, as I did yesterday. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 1, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak ye to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Just to explain this, in the law there was things that you did that had repercussions, and those repercussions went to judgment, and the punishment was meted out. If you took a life, then you had to pay back with a life. But under the case of what we would consider to be involuntary manslaughter, it was an accident, it was unintentional, it was circumstantial, a clause was given in that the person who took a life by accident could flee to six cities that God had told them to use as cities of refuge. And that person would go into that city and they would be safe from the family seeking vengeance for the life that was lost. And that person would stay in that city until the death of the high priest, and then they could go back to their own home, and all that was then forgotten. And I thought about what those cities meant to them in the Old Testament. And you never know what's going to happen. You can't control everything that happens. You may, by some unforeseen circumstance, even a life could be taken. The Lord talked about two men that went out to the field, out in the forest, to cut down a tree, and one man was cutting the tree down. The axe head fell off and struck the other man and killed him. The Lord gave that in case that happens. Well, that family, by the law, could take that man's life, but that man could flee to the city of refuge. He said, if that person did not plan to do this, or if he had no aught against that one, I guess that they could say, well, I know it was an accident, but you kind of had something to do with it. If that person was clear, they were safe in the city of refuge. Things happened a lot more back then, I guess, than they do nowadays. So that meant a lot to them. It was safety. a refuge. It means a shelter from danger, a safe place, a place that you're safe from the harshness or of the avenger of blood, as it's called, the one seeking vengeance, that you are safe from that, a place where you find a covering, a covert, a shelter, refuge. That's what it meant to them. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us in the New Testament? How about that? Does this have anything to do with us? I think it has a lot to do with us. And I think there's a great lesson, and may I say a very comforting lesson, found in these cities of refuge. There are six of them. Six of them were listed that were told. These are the six cities of refuge. Three on one side of the Jordan and three on the other side. So three on the west and three on the east. Now, when I tried to speak on this, and every time I've tried it, this is the third time I've tried to study this out. It's the second time. And I just looked at it the way that they're listed here in Joshua chapter 20. But Brother James said, if you look at the way they're listed in the two other references, I think one in Deuteronomy, one in Numbers, he said, you see that they're listed a little bit differently. And he said, if you look at that, you find the Christian experience, the experience of a child of God as they are learning about the Lord, and especially about, you know, about the church. Because that's what, to me, these cities of refuge are a picture of, and that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that the way these cities were geographically situated, that they were chosen by design, by an all-knowing God. God said, these are the six cities, and it wasn't just a random choice of God, that God had a purpose, and that these six alone were chosen. All right, so you got three on what we would say on the west side of the Jordan. Those cities are Kadesh, Hebron, and Shechem. And then you've got three on the other, on the east side. That would be Bezer, Ramoth, Golan. And in Brother James's way, he said, you started where you should have ended, and you ended where you should have started. I said, I got it all wrong. He said, well, pretty much. Pretty much you did. I said, well, And after he so lovingly explained it to me, I got it all wrong. I started where I should have ended, and I ended where I should have started. And Joshua, Golan is the last city mentioned, but it's the first city we're going to start with because it's the beginning. Golan means estranged or a stranger, a foreigner, a pilgrim, an alien. That's the first thing that you need to see.
That's right.
When you come to the church.
That's right.
That I'm just a stranger in this world. I don't know why, but I don't belong in the world. I don't find, maybe once I did find some joy in the world, but it's not there anymore. There's got to be some relief. Why am I so different from other folks? You know, I think about the prodigal son, that he had left home, and then when he got out in the world and the troubles of the world, he realized, I don't need to be here. I need to go home. There's a better place than this. But to get to that better place, he had to come to another place. He had to come to himself. When he came to himself, when he saw the circumstance that he was in, and when he was made to understand that he was not comfortable, that there was no joy in this, that he was miserable, that he was alone. I need to remove from here. My beloved friends, when you find the house of the Lord. You realize that this is that this world is a cruel place. Amen, it is. There's death, there's disease, there's COVID, there's trouble, there's misunderstanding, there's people that don't understand you, that think that you're nuts and you're crazy, and that you just find, there's got to be a better place. Where's home? Where's family? Where's people that understand me? Where's people that I understand? And you need to get to that place, and that's coming to yourself. You need to go to Golan to find out. I'm an exile. I'm a stranger here. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. But where is home away from home? Where can I find a place of comfort and rest in this cruel world? I say, you're well on your way now. Because when you see the church, you've come to another city. And that's called Ramoth. Ramoth means it's a high place. And you find, wow, look, there's a better place than any place on this world. There's a high place. I'm lifted up. I don't know why. I feel like I've been just brought above the cares of this life. I came in with these cares. As a lot of us, we've came in today worried and sad with broken hearts and dejected and wondering, can I find any comfort now? Yes, you can. Now, the same thing that has given you comfort all your life, that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then before you know it, it wasn't you and it wasn't me, but it was God that did it, edified you, lifted you up. And it's a dark and a forbidding place. I found a better place. I'm lifted up. Welcome to Ramoth. Welcome to a place of exaltation where your soul is lifted up. And your mind is brought, carried away from the troubles of this world. And you found a deliverance here in time. And a deliverance to a safe and a wonderful place in a city of refuge. That is the house of God. And when you see that this high and exalted place, you find treasure there. Now you found Bezer. That's a place it literally means ore of gold and silver. You know, the church is described in the New Testament as a treasure that's set in the field. And it talks about a man that wanted that treasure, but to get it, he had to buy the whole field. So that's the church, my friend. You find a richness here. There's better than gold and silver. The gospel, the fellowship, the love, the prayers, all these comfortable, wonderful things in the house of God, it's greater than anything in this world. Like the prodigal son spent all he had on righteous living and was left with nothing. No friends, no food, no home, no comfort, desiring even the husk that the swine did eat. I'm going to go back to the treasure city of my home. My friends, that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's better than the gold of Ophir. It's better than the silver that this world can bring. It is a treasure. And you're rich because the Lord, through his poverty, has made you rich. You had nothing. You have nothing. But you've got something in the house of God. It's the best place on earth. It is a place of great treasure that you can't find anywhere else. And when you see that treasure, now you're standing in front of a river. There you've gone up. Yeah, you started low in Golan and you kept going up, and now you've gone, you kind of made a turn over there to the west, and you're standing in front of a river, and that's the Jordan River. There's something you need to do at that point. If you haven't done it, there's something you need to do. You need to arise and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because until you do, you won't see the three cities on the other side. Now, you're doing all right. I'm saying that somebody who hadn't taken up the ordinance of baptism, sure, they can enjoy the church. Sure, there's blessings for them there. Yes, there's a treasure. Yes, there's a high place. Yes, they find understanding. But they won't find the other three until they take up that ordinance. That was my case. I was raised in the church, but I resisted baptism until I couldn't do it anymore. I had to do it. And that's one decision that I've made that I've never regretted. I've made a lot of mistakes. That wasn't one of them. And so you go in that river. Why, our Lord himself was baptized. We sing that song. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed within the stream. Our Lord was showing us the pattern to follow. We follow his footsteps. He told John. John said the only thing he could have said when Jesus, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? I know how you feel. I would have been like, we're getting this wrong. You baptize me, Lord. But he said, you suffer it to be so now. Be so, suffer it. Suffer it to be so now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. We're going to show something out. We're going to show out to the world what's going to redeem them and what's going to save them. And when you make that choice, you make that wise decision. I want to follow the Lord. I want to show out. Not show off, show out. I want to show out. This is what saved me. This is what delivered me. I want to go further into this back in the old days, they used to call somebody who preached on experience experimental. I don't know why, but they did. This is an experimental journey. This is a journey of experience. I think that's what they meant, experiential. And this is a vital part, may I say, of our Christian experience. And that is a decision of obedience. You see, I'm not, I've been told, you want folks to join the church so you'll have a bigger church. For Pete's sake, where'd you get that idea from? Usually more people means more problems. Usually. A smaller church has fewer problems. I tell you what, I want you to enjoy what I've come to enjoy. I want you to see what I see. As a matter of fact, I want you to go further than I do, so you can encourage me to go further, to go up. Friend, come up higher. I like that. Amen. Amen. Come up higher. Jesus went a little further, didn't he? Well, let's go further with him. If he went into this, then we ought to go into this. If he said you ought to do it, then you ought to do it. And so, therefore, cross that river. Don't stand on the other side. Don't stand over there. Come further. Come, get baptized. When you cross that river, you come to a place, you're going to come to the place you least expect it. You're going to come to a place called Shechem. Shechem means shoulder. Well, what we're going to do with that? What do we do with that? That's when you get to work. That's when you labor. You said, wait a minute, Brother Dave. I thought you said to be baptized and I'll find rest. Exactly. Exactly. Labor to enter into that rest. There's a rest in the labor with Christ. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Didn't he say, ye shall find rest for your souls? I believe he did, by taking up the yoke of Christ. Because when you look to the other side, there's Christ, yoke with you. He's pulling with you. You look over there, you've got your brothers and sisters. We're all pulling this together. We're putting our shoulder to the wheel. We're working, we're laboring, we're praying one for another. And when you come to the church and you join the church, you're going to find yourself, I want to do some things. But what are they? Well, maybe the Lord will tell you. You're going to find, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. I want to come there. I want to try to take care of the building. I want to serve in some way. I want to cook dinner. I want to bring some food. Somebody's sick. I'm going to go visit them. Somebody's sick. I'm going to go bring them some food. We're going to send them a card. I'm going to get up and tell people we need to pray for somebody. And I'm going to pray for them myself. I'm going to be there when the doors are open. I'm going to pray for the services. I'm going to pray for the pastor, for the ministers. I'm going to pray for the deacons. I'm going to pray for the members. They got something going on. They need some help. I'm going to be there to help them. I'm going to put my shoulder to the wheel. You may even find what I found. The last thing you ever wanted to find. I called to the ministry. That's the last thing I wanted to do. And I couldn't believe it. But it actually happened. But that, if you say, I'm calling you to pull that harness. Right. To plow that field. And don't you look back. You put your hand to the plow. You put your shoulder to it. And you go as far as you can. And you pull as hard as you can. And don't look back. Because when you get to Shechem, you find labor. You also find rest. And then when you get to Shechem and you go a little further, you're at a place called Kadesh. And Kadesh means a fenced in. Or a walled-in city. All of a sudden, you find out, before you know it, I'm protected. I've been doing all this, and why do I feel so good? Why do I feel so comforted? Why am I at peace? They're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, but I'm at peace when they're saying there's no peace. Why is it that when my loved ones die, that I find a comfort because I know my Lord has taken care of this. Amen. It's not that I desire death, but I don't fear it because my Lord has crossed that already. Amen. And he has borne that punishment for our sins in that what we find on the other side is peace and joy. We've got heaven waiting for us. And that's where our people go. They've been gathered to home. And we have that protection and that knowledge. Not only that, we've got people praying for us. If your heart is broken, there is a church member praying for you. If your heart is just straining, you've got somebody bearing you up. You've got somebody that will take care of you, that will help you. And they're not asking anything in return because they love you. Why would you not want that? Oh, why would you roam from this dear, peaceful home? Why would you not want to be a part of it? We've got each other, and we've got the Lord, and we've got the Spirit, and we've got the gospel, and we've got this house, this place that we can meet in, this house of God, this city of refuge, and it's strong. Wow, look at those walls. Look at all that we've got. Look at all these soldiers that are protecting us. Look at all this. I think I'm going to make it. I think I can face what the world's got for me now because I have the Lord and the Lord's people. And when you get there and you realize that, you've already gone on to the seventh city. And that's my favorite of all, Hebron. Y'all ought to know I like Hebron. Tried to talk about that about 3 months ago. Hebron means fellowship, association, communion, friendship, family, brothers, sisters. Brother Philip lost his dad, Elder John Conley. All too young, Brother John was 49. I love Brother John. Had good memories. Wonderful memory. I have good memories of John Conley right here at Bethel Church. Brother Philip was in college. He found Brother Julian. His heart's broken. But he's got the memories. And he's got us. I may be a sorry substitute, but you got me. He's got y'all. Y'all've got him. We'll do the best we can for each other. Amen. Lord, help us. And Lord, help us to do better. Lord, show us how to do better. Because there's a joy in helping your brother and sister, especially when they're in need. And I love one of my favorites there in the New Testament when Saul had that experience on the road. And he was in that room and the Lord told Ananias to go to him. And Ananias didn't want to, but he said, "You go. He's a chosen vessel." And when he walked into that room, the first thing he said was, "Brother, Brother Saul." I love that. I've told people this, the best first name you could give me is brother. Brother. Brother and sister. That makes me feel good. You're preaching a gospel to me. You're telling me we're family. We're family. We're related. We're not related by the blood of Adam. We're related by the blood of Christ, which is better. I tell you this, I can be in service with my brothers in the flesh. But when the Spirit is here, everybody's my brother and sister. Everybody. I love them all the same. And that, you know, you try to explain that, you can't, but you believe it and you feel it and you've experienced it. And that's what we've got, my friends. That's our refuge that we've got in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I want to turn it over here to the book of Psalms. And you read here in Psalm 48, talking about the church, I believe, in Psalm 48. And I see all these cities here in Psalms chapter 48. Let me just read in the first verse as we read, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Where? In the city of our God. Where is it? In the mountain of His holiness. Wow, you got Ramoth right there. You've got a high place right there. It's in a mountain. Where's the house, God? It's in a mountain. It's high and exalted. You've got protection. You've got the mountains and all that. You've got all that. Then he says, verse 2, beautiful. Beautiful for situation. For what situation? For any situation. Whatever situation. I've come to church sad and left happy. I've gone to church happy and left happier. I've gone to church brokenhearted and I've left with my heart mended. I've gone to church with nothing and left it full. I brought just a little bit and the Lord filled my basket with the fragments that remain. It's beautiful for situation. It's the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. In the sides of the north, in the city of our great King. There is protection. There's gold and silver. It's the city of the King. It's the treasure city of Christ, the King of Kings. You don't think this is a rich place? Look again. Because it is. It's the Lord's house. God is known in her palaces. For what? For a refuge. There's a treasure city. There's Bezer. There's the high place. There's the walls. There's the fellowship. Because the reason why our fellowship is so good is because we're having fellowship with God. And without that, there's no fellowship with each other. What is there to fellowship about? My friends, we've got the Lord. There's our fellowship, and there we find the refuge. God is known in her palaces for refuge. If you want to know God, then go to His house, and you'll find a refuge there. We read, "For lo, kings were assembled. They passed by together." Ah, here come the avengers. Here comes the avengers of blood. Here they come. Uh-oh. Oh, no, there's no uh-oh, verse 5. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took a hold upon them there, right there, when they saw that city. Fear took upon them, and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Amen, amen. What's bothering you, my friend? Is it enough to remove you from eternal life? No. Is it enough, my friends, to cause your life to be in despair from this moment on? No. You'll find a refuge. Amen. and a comfort in the house of the Lord. And finally, I'll drop down. We'll go over here in verse 12 of Psalms 48. Yeah. Walk about Zion. There you go. Start with Golan.
Yeah.
But don't end there. No. Oh, let me tell you this. When you go from Golan, you're going up, right? You go north. And then you cut across, you're at the river. You cross the river, you're baptized, then you're on the other side. Now, you want to go up, but you got to go down. Because Hebron is in the south. So you've got to go down. You've got to forget yourself. You've got to put yourself last. You've got to esteem others better than yourselves. So if you want to go up, you got to go down. Go down. Put yourself out of the equation. Forget about what you want and what does God desire. And when you find that, and what others need, and when you find that, then you find that goal. You find what you wanted all along. And so, walk about Zion. Well, I think I've got to Beezer. I'm good. No, you're not. No, you're looking at the river. Go across. Why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want to do the best thing you could possibly do with your life? What's keeping you from it? What have I done to offend you? What have I done something in the past? Forgive me. Has some of these people done something? Forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. What grudges do you got? Get rid of them. Get rid of them. You're standing in the way. You're letting it stand in the way of full possession of the kingdom of God. It's not worth it. You're not worth it. I'm not worth it. But God is. And these cities are. So take up your cross and follow Him. And you're just getting started now. Yeah, now you're walking. I still want to hear that sermon on the walk that you preached on, Brother Sonny. I remember us talking about it. Walk about Zion. What does it say? Go round about her. Oh, okay. Don't just cross the border and say you've been there. Go round about. Go as far and go to all the borders. Go round about. Make a circuit. And then when you're doing that, tell the tower. See how many towers you see. Count them out. Yeah, count the tower. Count the towers. Those are there for your protection. They're there that they can see. They can see things. You can see things in the house of God. You couldn't see anything anywhere else. You've got a wisdom you can't find anywhere else. You've got a vision you can't find anywhere else. Tell the towers. Count them out. See how many there are. Count the towers. Mark ye well her bulwarks. That's also for protection. See, don't forget them. Mark them out. And realize the protection you have. Consider her palaces. That ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. That's lasting protection. That does not quit. That is right there. You know, I'll leave you with this. You ever seen that commercial about Allstate Insurance? And they say you're in good hands with Allstate. You know, there's a lot of folks that found out that they weren't in good hands with Allstate. Now, if some of y'all are selling Allstate, I'm sorry. But you know, I remember when I was a kid, and I'd see that commercial, you're in good hands. And it showed these hands out like this. Well, that bothered me. That bothered me. Because what if they tripped? What if they had to scratch their head? What if I'm on this hand? I'm not in good hands. But you know, I like what the Lord said. He says, you know, or Scripture says we're in the hand of the Lord, we're in the hand of God, and we're in the hand of Christ. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. Well, if your hands are like this, somebody can pluck them out. But here's the hand of God, and here's the hand of Christ. Amen. And we're covered.
That's right.
And no man can pluck us. No thing can pluck you out of that hand. You find some refuge in that.
Amen.
You'll find some strength in that. And you'll find some peace which passeth all understanding in that. May the Lord richly bless you. Brother Sonny, you got something you'd like to say?
You go ahead.
Hey, he said to go ahead.
I don't want to take away the signs.
wouldn't bother me. All righty. May the Lord bless us all. Thank you very much. And we will sing a hymn and extend the privilege of the church membership and give each other a chance.